Now, Lord, you're so wonderful. Lord, we just heard how wonderful you are. We heard it in the singing. We just can't be beat. You're great. Ain't nobody can touch you, Lord. You're wonderful. Then we heard not only in the singing, then we heard it in the testimony. Lord, bragging on Jesus, just bragging on Jesus. Heard it in Sunday school, bragging on Jesus. Here this morning, bragging on Jesus. Glad for what you do. Thankful for what you give us. We don't deserve nothing, and you give us everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything this morning. Now, Lord, I ask you to cleanse me, that there be nothing between me and you. Lord, help me to preach as you want me to, not as I want to, but as you want me to. Lord, I pray that we might take heed to the Word of God, to the examples you set before us. Lord, I pray this morning that when we leave here, that we can honor you and praise you, our Heavenly Father, giving your only Son to die for an old sinner like me. Oh, thank you again, Lord, for all that you are. Help us now, Lord, please, touch us fresh. May the Word of God have free course. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's Father's Day, as we know. And there'll be celebrations, I understand that. There'll be some dinners, and probably maybe even done it yesterday. Might do it tomorrow. I don't know when you'll do it, but there'll be some honors to dads all around. Be little cards, little knickknacks, little gifts, a crescent wrench, prayer pliers or something. We just, maybe a hammer or something. That's what we do. You know, box of shotgun shells or something. These are things we give dads, maybe a fishing lure or something. And that's all well and good. And I thank God for my father. He's with the Lord. May the 21st at 10 after 4 on a Monday morning, my dad went to see Jesus, and miss him every day, and I'm thankful for my father. But we're in bad need today. Today's Father's Day. It's man's day. Like I said, it's man's day. This is man's day. Y'all understand that? And we need men. We need men. Not males. We need men. Huh? We need young men. We need old men. We just need men. And we're in a day of trouble for when it comes to men. Now I want you to listen carefully now. We need strong men. All right? Now, everybody's not built the same. Everybody might not be built for stout, but we need strong men. It's got a backbone. It ain't got no yellow streak up her back. We need men. We need men that can carry a load, that don't faint under pressure, who's willing to charge, who's willing to go all the way. We need men. We need men. Now, we need honorable men. We need men that's got honor, integrity, character, that your word means something. That when you speak it, you might as well just go ahead and figure, well, that's going to happen because that's my word. You do whatever's necessary to keep your word, whatever's necessary. To me, there's nothing more important in the fact of being a man is to keep your word, that you be honest among men, to be steady, not tossed to and fro, but be steady, I got to be careful here with my wording. I want you to understand it, but we need to steady that unmovable. The Bible tells us to be always abounding in the word of the Lord, but unmovable. Stay steadfast, unmovable. And that's for everybody, but I believe it's really for the man as well. The Bible speaks some to the ladies, but the reason the Bible speaks so much to the man, because the man is supposed to be the leader. And he's supposed to set the example. And that's why we need men. Boys turn in to be men only if they're trained to be men. They need to be trained to be men. Just like Philip or Landon told me, Papa, all men don't wear pink. I'll never forget that. I threw the tie away. I don't even have the tie no more. And I come home and I never wore it again. And I'll never forget that. Papa, men's, and there was other things he said, men's do this and men's do that. And I was glad he was being taught what a man does. And we're missing that today. And how do I know that? Well, just think. We're going to look around here in a minute. We need spiritual men. We need a church full of spiritual men. Men that are willing to walk with God. Now, not just come to church, not carry your Bible, not just read your Bible, but be a spiritual man. We need men that'll take the forefront. Can I tell you what we have now? I'm not criticizing. I'm going to try to help him. We'll challenge you. Everybody understand? Now, you men can take it. So just suck it up. You can take it. I'm going to take it. All right? We let the women shout, and we keep our mouths shut. We let the women testify, and we keep our mouths shut. We let the women take over, and we keep our mouths shut because sometimes that yellow streak comes through our shirt. We need to be spiritual men. Spiritual men. Now, you may not shout. Everybody don't shout. I understand that. But there ought to be a spiritual essence in you that comes forward. That people know you've been with God just when they walk up to you. And you say, well, I don't know that. Well, it's all through the Bible they did. Moses was a man. His face shone when he spent time with God. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, and when he prayed, heaven come down. So there's a difference in how men are if men will just go ahead and submit to the Lord. Yeah. There is a difference. You think about that. I mean, we're living now. You think about this. I was thinking 80 years ago in World War II, that they was young boys, 17 years old, 16 years old, lying about their age to be a man to go fight in a war that they figured they wouldn't come home from. And today, we got men identifying as women so they can win at sports. Boy, we've come a long way, ain't we? Huh? There's something wrong there. There's something wrong there. And we need men. We need men, not males. We need men. You know, we got to need a man. It's so messed up. We've got women who dress up like men, get their hair cut like men, find them a wife, adopt a kid, and try to be the daddy, and they're the ones that hate men. I don't understand that. You understood what it said. Now, I'm not down. I'm going to tell you, this is where we've come to. We've come from godliness to sinfulness. We've come from following God, being men of God, to allowing everything around us to become worldly and ungodly. That's where we're at today. And it's because of men. Because we don't have men. If there's any problem in our government, it's because of men. We've allowed to happen what has happened. Huh? That's what's happened today. We need men. We need men. You know, there's been the role reversal. You know, but we need men. Women have taken the pulpit. Well, the Bible teaches that women can't preach, pastor, church. That's what the Bible said. No matter where you believe it or not, that's what the Bible said. And if they do it, they're wrong. I don't care how smart they are. And you need to quit listening to satanic people like Joyce Meyer. Just go ahead and tell you. Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher. Women, amen, preacher. You ain't got no business listening to that track. Because it's ungodly. It's ungodly. And that's just the way it is. I mean, that's just a fact. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you the truth. Somewhere, somebody's got to stop, stand up, and tell the truth. And I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. I mean, we need men. We need men. We need men like Enoch and Noah. When I read the Bible, we need men like Enoch and Noah who preached in an evil day. When the wickedness was so bad that God said, I wish I hadn't even made man. But Enoch and Noah stood their ground and preached the truth in an evil day. That's the kind of men we need today. Think about that. We need men not just like Enoch and Noah, but we need men like Abraham, who trusted the Lord completely. It didn't matter. Because by faith, Abraham took off into the Ur of the Chaldees. He didn't know where he was going, what was going to happen, but he went because God said to go. He didn't question. He didn't ask it. God said, Abraham, come up on the mountain, bring your son, kill him. He said, okay.
Right.
Now don't just kill him, cut him up in little pieces, put him on a fire, burn him, and then y'all can go back after it's over.
Yeah.
He said, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of man we need. You say, well, I can't be that. Why can't you? The Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same God, the same Savior, the same Holy Ghost. What we need is men that'll do it.
Yeah.
Huh? We need men that'll do it. Think about that. There wasn't no Jewish race. There wasn't no Jewish people. Till Abraham. Think about that. And his faithfulness to God. And God saw his faithfulness was so strong. He said, then I'll take you and make a people because you're such a strong man in me. I'm going to make a whole people. And now we have Jewish people. You understand? You know that, don't you? And Abraham was a Gentile, and his kids were Jews. Everybody understand that? Talk to me. Y'all know your Bible, don't you? Right? We need people. We don't hear about him much. We need men like Jephthah. Jephthah, you read about him in Hebrews chapter 11. He's in the hall of faith, but don't say nothing about him. Just says about faith, about Jephthah. You know what he was known for? His word. He kept his vows to God. We need men that when they vow to God, that they keep their vow to God.
Amen.
Jephthah vowed to God and said, I'll sacrifice the first thing I see when I get to the house. First thing I see when I get to the house, I'll sacrifice it. He rode up in the driveway, and the first thing he saw was his daughter come out and said, hey, Dad. He said, come on, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You hear nothing about Jephthah? Your wife kept his vow. Now, she ended up, because she was a virgin, she ended up giving her whole life for the Lord there in the temple, if you go back and read. But I want you to understand, he sacrificed her. Are you listening to me? What we need to understand is we need men that'll do this. Now, women, y'all ought to be the ones backing this up because if he's a godly man, that means you're going to have a godly home, a better husband, a better father, a better friend if you'll go ahead. So, ladies, the men ain't going to say much, but you ladies can. All right. See, we need men like David. In the Bible, who gives the Lord his whole heart. Not part of his heart, but his whole heart.
Yeah.
We got too many half-hearted men.
Yeah.
Think about it. Half-hearted. Yeah? Half-hearted. We okay, men? Now, if you're not guilty, that's wonderful. I'm not saying we're all like it. I'm just saying this is what we need. Everybody understand that? This is what we need. This is the kind of men that we need. Huh? We need men like the old prophets and the apostles who give their life for the truth, give their life for what God said, who's willing to give their life. Willing to give their life. It may not happen, but willing if necessary. Huh? Just stand up and take it. Huh? I'm not going to fight. Somebody try to come and arrest me for preaching. I'm not going to fight them.
Yeah.
They come. They take everything I got. I'm not going to fight it. I'm just going to stand.
Amen.
I'm just going to stand and I'm going to preach.
Yeah.
They cut my tongue out. I'll do high hand motions. I'll figure something out.
Amen.
Huh? But what I'm not going to do is run.
Amen.
What I'm not going to do is back up.
Yeah.
Huh? They just ain't no backup in me. I'm sorry. My backup beeper don't work. I may step aside for a moment, but I'm not backing up. Being a man, standing for what a man ought to stand for. I'm not going to back up on the Bible. I'm not going to back up on the gospel. I'm just not going to do it. See, we live in a day now that where it's not conviction anymore, it's just we're offended. We need to get back to where it's the Holy Ghost convicting us of sin instead of us being offended because of our feelings. Huh? And men are just as bad. I mean, listen, it don't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, but if you complain about a twit on Twitter, or whatever they are, tweets or twits or whatever they are, huh? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't do none of that. I don't know what they are. But if a man complains about what another man said, that man is a sissy.
Right.
He's a panty-waist sissy. That's all I'd say. Now, I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican. Huh?
Well, I hurt my feelings. I hurt my feelings.
Hush. If it hurts your feelings, don't ever tell it. Huh? We okay, men? Talk about men. Talk about having men. Being a man, what I'm talking about. Huh? We need men. And you know what? When we think of men, we think of old men. Yeah, when I think of a man, you think of old man. Well, we need to be an old man. Well, let me tell you something. I like to be an old man like Gene Thomas. I hope that when I'm 80 years old, I'm half the man Gene Thomas is. Huh? I hope I'm half the man Richard Hundley is. I hope I'm half the man John Johnson is. Charlie Sanford. Steve Fairchild. Huh? I hope I'm half the man these men are. Huh? Steve Dorsey back here. Steve Dorsey back here works more accidentally than most men do on purpose. Huh? He does. I like some of you young guys just stick with Steve. Stick with him someday. I like being an old man like Dave Butler. His birthday's tomorrow. He'll be 66 years old tomorrow. Old man. Old man. But you know, it ain't the old men that made the country. Do you know that? It's not the old men that made the country. It was young men that made the country. You go back and read your history. Ben Franklin was 70 years old. All the rest of them guys were young. In the Revolutionary War? Huh? Do you know that? Is everybody still with me? You know, George Washington, he was the father of our country, but he was just 44. After the war was over, he was just 44. We got any 40-year-olds in here this morning? Hold your hand up if you're around 40. Hold your hand up around 40. Not you, Teddy. Teddy, you're ancient. You retired twice and can't keep a job. Listen to me. 40 years old. 40 years old when the war started. 40. He was the general of all the army. He was a young man. Huh? Did you understand that? Did you know that Thomas Jefferson, when he penned the Declaration of Independence, was only 33 years old? Only 33. We got any 30-year-old men in here? Hold your hand up if you're around 30. Anybody here? Matt? Well, you're getting close. Do you have enough sense? Do you have enough gumption? Do you have enough in you to pen a Declaration of Independence at 33 years old? Think about that. I couldn't have done that at 33 years old. I can't hardly write now. Huh? Are you understanding what I'm saying? These are the men who founded our country, who started our country. They weren't old men. They were young men. Huh? John Paul Jones, what was he famous for? Anybody know? Anybody know who John Paul Jones was? Huh? Now, not the fellow who lived across the hill or down in Allen. It's not John's boy. Huh? John Paul Jones, what did he say? I've not yet begun to fight.
Amen.
He was old. He was almost 28. Almost 28 years old in history because he said, I've not yet begun to fight.
Yeah.
At 28, he was a man, what I'm trying to tell you.
Amen.
Huh? We got some 28-year-olds around that in here this morning. Huh? And some people don't even know who I'm talking about, but I'm telling you they're famous. How about Nathan Hale? What did he say? You know, they killed Nathan Hale. They hung him, I think. They hung him. And you know what they hung him for? Because he was a spy for the Revolutionary Army. And he was a good one. And they caught him. And they hung him. And right before they hung him, he said, "I regret that I only have but one life to live for my country."
Amen.
You know how old he was? 21! 21! Huh? What is they said? I've seen a clip from somewhere. They said this generation wants to start a revolution. They can't even start a weed eater. Okay. But these are the men who found our country. They weren't 70 and 80 years old. They were men, young men, just like you sitting here in the church house this morning, who said, "I want to stand for God and stand for right." Huh? We still okay? How about John Marshall? Anybody know who John Marshall was? You know, John Marshall, Chief Justice, you know, one of the first Chief Justices. Anybody know him? Y'all have history in school? Yeah? See, let me tell you, that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong. We're not taught what's went on. We're not taught what's went on. Can I tell you, John Marshall became Chief Justice. You know what he was? He was 20. 20. Huh? These men that signed the Declaration of Independence, huh? The average age, I think, was 40 of all the men who signed the Declaration of Independence. And Ben Franklin, I think, being maybe the oldest, was 70. Are you hearing me this morning? How about Patrick Henry? Now, he was an old guy. He was an old guy. And you know what he's famous for saying? Let me see how old he was here. He said, "Give me liberty or give me death." But he was old. He was ancient. He was 40. We got 40 years old here this morning that would stand up and say, "Give me liberty or kill me." Yeah. I ain't backing up. Huh? That's what we need today. We need men of this caliber. Are you understanding? You say, "Well, they spiritual?" I don't know. They were men. Huh? At least they had a foundation. Right? James Monroe. Anybody know who James Monroe is? I think he might have been a president somewhere. One of them first presidents. You know, had the Monroe Doctrine, all that. Y'all know anything about James Monroe? Huh? I mean, he was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. Man, he turned 18. 18 years old. That wasn't in the house playing a video game. But he was going to die for the country and become president. Huh? I'm just telling you, we need some men this morning. We need some men like General Patton. We need some men like you. I think Patton might have been a man's man. I don't know if y'all know anything about Patton. I think he was a man's man. Couldn't stand a coward. Huh? How about Omar Bradley? You don't hear about men like this no more. Huh? You don't hear about Pattons and Bradley. You don't hear about Westmorelands that sell you out. We'll say that about that. Yeah. We need some MacArthurs. Huh? Who says there's no substitute for victory? Huh? We need some Ronald Reagans. You might not like him, but we need some. Huh? We need some Ronald Reagan. Huh? Quiet there. Yeah. What we need is men. We need men. I wonder, do we have men today? We got males, but do we have men? Do we have men? Do we have the kind of men? When was it? Woody? Can't think of his last name now. Medal of Honor just died. Woody Williams. We need men like that. We need men like Woody. Just an old ordinary West Virginia hick. Raised up a holler. Went to war. Went to Iwo Jima. All right. Paul and Levi Jima got up there, and while some men gave him some cover fire, he went up there and took a flamethrower and burned out 7 machine gun nests and saved a lot of lives. We need men that don't care about themselves but care about their buddies. And they care about what it's going to take to get that flag up there. What is it ever going to take for our country? Huh? That's the kind of men we need. But I'm afraid we don't have that kind of men anymore. I'm afraid we've lost it somewhere down through time. But then we look at the Bible, and we need to look at it. So we don't want just to preach history to you. No, we can, but we don't just want to preach history to you. We want to preach the Bible to you now. Everybody okay? I'm giving you examples. All right, so let's look here in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and we'll see what kind of man. We need some men that will step out and lead. I mean, lead for God. We need men, strong men, tough men, men's men that'll step up and lead their family. This is Father's Day. That means fathers have families. And we need men that's willing to stand up for their family. And Joshua was one of them. Verse 15 says, "And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of Amorites in whose land ye dwell." What Joshua said, y'all all do what y'all want to do, but then he said, but it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, everybody else can do what they want to do, but I'm going to take a stand, and for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I've got enough authority in my home and enough example in my home of being godly, and enough right in my home of being godly, that they're going to follow me for 4 generations. Amen. We got any men that's got enough influence and strength, spirituality, that 4 generations will follow? Huh? I prayed that my boys would follow me. That's 1 generation. I pray for my grandchildren. I pray for Landon. I pray for these kids. I pray for Levi. I thank God that Levi, here in 2 weeks, is going to Honduras on a mission trip. Just turned 13 in January, and he's going on a mission trip in 2 weeks. Hallelujah. So that'll be me. Be 4 more sets. What's that? That's 2 under me. I got 2 more to go. I hope there's enough influence from this man right here that if the world stands, that my great-great-grandchildren are still somewhere carrying a Bible in the pulpit, living for God, in a Sunday school class or a deacon, or at least just a strong church man that can be depended on. Huh? Huh? I hope I ain't just influence them as they carry on the bad stuff. Because they'll carry on everything. That's the bad part. I'm not going to tell what all happened, but Marcus called me yesterday. And he said, "Dad," he said, "I hate to say it, but you come out in me." And, that's not going to be a blessing when you say it like that. Are you hearing me? And what have you done? I was going to tell you that he said, "I pulled one of yours." I said, "Well, what did you do?" He said, "Well, the kids was out there, had one of them little blow up pools for the Olivia and Wesley, the little ones, and all of them got in. All the kids got in." And he'll probably kill me for telling this, but anyway, they was fussing and fighting, squalling, whining, crying, fussing and fighting, all of them. He went out there and told him, "Hush, hush, 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 hush." Finally, he said, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the BB gun. I'm going to shoot holes in it. I'm going to dump it out. I'm going to put it in the trash can, and nobody will sweat." And you know what he said? He said, "Dad, I pulled one of yours." Now, is that something? No, that was not a blessing to me. Is everybody following me? Because that's what I would have done. They brought up, we just cut up, nobody played with it. I'll tell you how far it goes back. All right. Now I'm just trying to show you, make a point. Everybody okay? Years ago, my papa and mama was sitting at the table eating, and BB was sitting there with them. They was eating beans. eating white beans. Said, "Take away eating supper." BB said, "I want some more beans." Mama said, "Eat what's on your plate." Papa said, "Give the boy some beans." BB said, "I want some more beans." Mama said, "You eat what's on your plate." Papa said, "Give the boy some beans." BB asked again. Mama said that, and Papa took the kettle and threw it right through the window. He said, "The boy don't eat beans, nobody eat beans." That was my grandfather. What I'm telling you is that everything follows, good or bad. Now, I'm not bragging on that, but that's what I would have done. I mean, right through the window glass. It wasn't an open window. It was right through the window glass. What are your children following, man? What are your children following? Because they'll follow. They'll follow. I always think what Pooty John Schaefer over at Mount Lookout said years ago. I'll never forget it. He was testifying. He said and he was the snow was deep, and he was walking from the truck to the house, and he's walking. He heard somebody struggling. He looked behind him, and Johnny was trying to step in Pooty's steps. He said, "What are you doing, Johnny?" He said, "I'm trying to walk in your steps, Daddy. Trying to walk in your steps." They'll try their best to walk in our steps. We better make sure we walk right. Huh? What we need is some men like Joshua. Is everybody still okay? Hey, we need some men that'll train. Huh? Train our children. We need men that'll train. Huh? Listen, I have no problem with a man learning to cook. I love to cook. I enjoy cooking. So I don't have to be dependent upon nobody. I don't have to sit in a recliner and wait for somebody to bring me something. I'll go cook it myself. Huh? I was taught to be self-sufficient. I was taught to make what I needed. I was taught to get by. I know how to sew. I can sew my breeches if they tear. I can sew a button on if it comes off. I was taught that. I can cook. Huh? I can weld a little bit. I can build something with wood. I can build something with metal. I'm not going to be dependent upon nobody. I've been taught as a man or two to be sufficient, that he can live his life, help his family. If nobody else is around, then he can take care of his family. Amen. Everybody still with me?
Yes.
We need men that will train. How about Proverbs 22, verse 6? It says, "Train up a child." Well, who's supposed to train? Well, can I tell you, a mom and dad both supposed to train, but it's speaking to a man here, really. Because in chapter 22 of Proverbs, verse 3, it's talking about a prudent man, and then it goes on down, and it keeps that a good name, all that. We're talking about men is what we're talking about. Now, women's in there too, but we're talking about men. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. But instead of getting a weed eater or a hand sickle or a shovel or a mattock and giving it to our kids, we've given them a video game. We've let them dress up like girls for Halloween. We've let them put on beads of mommies. We've let them slip on their shoes, their mommy's shoes, and prance around. And we've raised a bunch of homosexual children. Now, I'm not, if that's what you have, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you, this is what happens. If you make children feminine, that's what they'll be. We need men that'll be trained. I'm not downing nobody. I'm just telling you. Everybody understand that? Talk to me now. Don't be mad at me. Huh? We need men that'll stand up and do it. That'll train. That'll train. We need men that'll train. Huh? I was trained. Landon. I'll go back to Landon again. When I was trained when I raised a garden to use a string to lay off the road. When I was little, Papa would say, "All right, go get string. We're gonna plant corn." I go get string. We had a certain string, certain stakes. We drove in the ground. We laid off a row straight as a pin. Well, I done that from the time I was old enough to carry a hoe, and I do that yet today. Philip or Landon comes over and says, "Ah, you and that string." So what he said, "You and that string, Papa." Well, that was on something. He said, "Use your string." And it had nothing to do with the strength. He just got it rolled. I said, use your strength. Huh? But it's in his mind. If he comes to my house and we're going to do something, we're going to use your strength. Huh? We understand? Training him. There's a certain way. I'm sure, knowing Pat, he's out of the pulpit now. Pat's got, there's ways you're going to do it. No, it's going to be done your way. Am I right, Pat? I mean, it's way, hey, don't matter where anybody else like that, it's the way you do it. Yeah. Yeah, it's the way, if you stockade, we're going to stockade this way. We're going to do it. It's that's the way we're going to do it. How about you, Dennis? You ever set a fence post the way you wanted to? Yeah, you said it the way God said it. Said it. Not how Dennis wants to set it. You set a post how God taught you. And you better be able to look and see one post all the way down the line. No crooked fence row. Huh? Is that right? You was trained that way. Huh? You was trained that way. Now, when we moved to where we're at now, I cut grass. It was pushed more. And I walked my line straight. So when you see where I mowed, you see the tracks with the push mower. And I'd go up and I'd come back to the same one. That's the way I was. Now, I taught the boys to do that. Now, it wouldn't really matter to me if they had just messed it all up, but they wasn't ever going to know that. They was going to be taught patience and some skill and some pride, and if they made a crook, I'd make them cut it again. I'd make them cut it till the tracks were straight. And they growled about that every time they cut grass. You them straight lines. I said, that's right, you'll cut her all night long till they're straight. I don't care. It's up to you. You either cut it right or cut it all night. You choose. So they, you know what they learned to do? They learned to cut it right. I got tickled. Marcus was teaching Levi to cut grass. I said, what did you do? Oh, I taught him to do it straight. It matters how we train our children. What are you training your children to do? See, I was trained. Now, I found Christ. I was lost. I understood that. I got saved at a young age. But I was trained to go to church. So that's what Sundays and Wednesdays are for. And finally, when I got on my own, in 1982, when I really decided I'm going to live for the Lord, then I said, well, I don't decide. I never decide to go to church on Sunday. Because I made that decision in 1982.
Amen.
I never get up on Sunday morning and say, well, I wonder if I ought to go. That don't even cross my mind. Because I made that decision 42 years ago.
Amen.
Midweek service. When we was at Mount Lookout, we had cottage prayer meeting on Tuesday, church prayer meeting on Thursday. Well, that's where I live. That's where I went to church. So, there was no question. Tuesday night, I was at college prayer meeting. If I wasn't at work, working over. And Thursday night, I was at church prayer meeting. With my children with me. We played ball. They played ball. Kids played ball. I'm not saying everybody ought to do this. I'm just telling you how I tried to train mine. You want to play ball? Play ball. That's fine, but you're not playing ball in this church.
Amen.
More than once, I stepped up here on the baseball field, on the first base line, right in the middle of a game, and let's go, time for church. Marcus is pulling his glove off, comes there. I didn't care. He belonged to me. It was church night. We wasn't going to play ball on church night.
Amen.
Now, some don't do that. I did. Football practice. From the first, go. One back. The coach says he practiced. Let's go. He belongs to me. Don't belong to you. He belongs to me. Change your clothes. Get in the car. We're not going to do it. We're not going to miss church. I trained them. We okay? You say, well, you're hateful. No, I didn't get mad into it. It just said we're not going to argue about it. We're not going to argue about it. This is the way, if you want to play ball, fine. But when it comes time, when I do this, then you best come. Don't make me walk out there on the field and get you. We okay?
Sure.
We need men. You say, well, that's harsh. No, I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want them to go out and be a drunkard. I don't want them to lay out of church. I don't want them to go run with the world. I want them to live for God. So I got to train them because they don't know. These kids don't know. These babies don't know. They got to be taught. And they'll be taught how you teach them. And men, we need men that'll stand up and be a man. Now, I'm not mean-mouthing Cheryl, but Cheryl was not for me doing what I done. Because she loves sports. Well, I love sports too, but parents turned me against it. All right? We still okay? Don't get mad at me this morning. We're talking about training. We're talking about teaching. How about Deuteronomy chapter 6? Deuteronomy chapter 6. We still okay? It says, and hear, O Israel, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontless between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. That's written to the men. The children of Israel is addressed to the men that they'll be men of God and be taught right. It's our job. Society is like it is because men quit being men. We need strong men. We need wise men. We need men of character, men of integrity. Man of strength. Not bullies. I'm not a bully. Huh? I try to be honest. But I'm not a bully. I try to be plain. But I'm not a bully. I try to make sure everybody understands where I stand. But I'm not a bully. Does everybody understand that? But I'm trying to be a man. I'm trying to be a man. We need men that'll lead, step up and lead. Men that'll train, men that'll teach. Huh? How about Proverbs 14? Let's go back here just for a moment. Interesting verse I was reading. We need men that'll trust. We need some men that'll trust the Lord because it makes an impression on the children. All right? Now, mamas are good for this too. But we're talking about men here. It says, verse 26, Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord is what? Strong confidence. And his children, it's wrote to a man, and his children shall have a place of refuge. We need some men that'll trust the Lord, that'll have faith and trust the Lord, that the children can find refuge in the faith of daddy. Are you hearing me? That's what we need. We need men of faith. Huh? I told you before, a lot of people think I'm lying, but I'll tell you the truth. BB was here. He'd tell you because he was there. Papa, maybe they was traveling and hit the snow plow. And the plow ripped, the snow plow was in the ditch and done blowed over with snow. And they round the curve and slid and hit the snow plow, the plow part, and ripped the whole front out of the car, the radiator, everything out. They had to get up. Pablo got out, laid his hands on the bumper, hanging there, laid his hands on it, and prayed. Got in the car, started, and they went on to where they was headed. Now, you believe that or not, it don't matter, but I'm going to tell you, I'd like to have that kind of faith. Everybody wanted to heal somebody and smack something, smack a bad feeling out of them, huh? Let them heal a car. Are you hearing me? Men, do we got that? That where they can trust? Huh? Did you know, and I don't want this, but my family, when something happens, they call me to pray. Why? Why? Why would you call me to pray? So fear of the Lord has brought strong confidence there. Are you listening to me? Man, I'm talking to you. Are you hearing me? talking about a strong confidence will be a refuge for our children, that they can run to Dad. We okay? Hear me now. We need men. That's the title of the message. You know, we need men. We need fathers. Huh? We need men that will discipline. It's there in Proverbs. Just turn back. Chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, 24. We need somebody's going to discipline the children. Proverbs 13, 24 says, "He that spareth his rod," says talking to men, "he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." We need men that'll discipline. We leave everything to the woman. Man leaves everything to the woman. We work, we're tired. Huh? Then when we do discipline, can I tell you another personal tale here? I messed up so much being a daddy. I'd work long hours, work every hour until they made me go home. That's the way I used to work. And I go home and things wouldn't be exactly like I thought they ought to be. And I messed up everything Cheryl had done all day long, all the things she had lined out. And I go in and just blow it all apart with something stupid. Anybody ever done that? Huh? And didn't know, didn't talk to nobody, didn't see what was happening. And I had to go, "I'm the head, and I've got to do the discipline. But I didn't pray about it. I didn't know what was going on. Didn't seek the wisdom of God and messed up big time. It's a wonder my kids even stayed home. Y'all can believe that, can't you? But Danny, discipline is not always the beating. Discipline is instruction. Discipline and discipling are pretty close, aren't they? Huh? Discipline and discipling. Words pretty close, spelling pretty close, right? I don't think Jesus beat none of the disciples. He discipled them. They followed him. We okay? If we discipline right, it'll be discipling right. I'm just wanting to tell you we need men. And men, I'm going to give you one more. How about Luke 15? Luke 15. And in all this, we need men that will love. We need men that will love, that will show their love. How about Luke 15, verse 20? It says, "And he arose," talking about the prodigal. Talking about the old boy left home, bad attitude, wasted everything, hard-earned money daddy had made and kept for him. Wasted it away. Brought his daddy shame, no doubt. Brought problems. I bet when they seen that old boy out there wasted away, they said, You, what's his name, boy? Yeah. You brought shame to the name. Had to happen. Had to happen. And that's your boy, that's your boy down there hanging out with them Jews down there working in the hog pen with that other bunch. I thought he was a Jew. He working down there with all them pigs. That's your boy? Boy, how'd you teach him? That brought his daddy shame. Here come the old boy home. He said he'd come to himself, said, "I'm going to rise and go to my father, tell him I've sinned, I'm going to repent." There's many a daddy that said, "You ain't welcome here." Daddy, well, this daddy does. Says he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Hey, we need some men that'll love their children regardless of where they're at, regardless of what they do, regardless of what they're involved in, that the love never changes, that you love them completely, and when they stray, you welcome them. When they come home, when they're in trouble, you still help them, but you can't enable them to see. But you can't throw them out. Right. Are you hearing me? You got to love them. We okay? We need men. We need men today. We need men. We need men today. We need fathers. We need fathers that'll work and not train up your children to just draw a check. We need fathers that'll love their wives and from their children. We need fathers that'll tell their wife they love their wife. They love them in front of their children so their children know it. is when the children grow up, they say, well, my daddy loved my mommy. Huh? We need fathers that will be faithful to God's word, and faithful to his house, and faithful to his work is what we need. We need fathers that'll lay down their life regardless. Are you understanding? We need to just be men. Godly men. I look at what I've written down here of the men I've wrote down, and to be a man of God. To be a man of God. It don't just happen. It don't just happen naturally. You got a purpose to be that kind of man. You got a purpose to be that kind of man. You got to have a desire. You got to have that gumption about you. You got to have that backbone that you go ahead and say, I'm going to be the man. I'm going to be that man. Years ago, I preached a men's meeting at Cranberry Baptist. And I actually preached on a church bus. We went out, I forgot where we went out to eat, done something, and I preached to a bunch of men on a church bus. And I preached a message on He-Man. Any of you around my age, a little bit younger, remember He-Man, the little toy? That's what he's called, He-Man. He had a pet. You know what his pet was? A saber-toothed tiger. He didn't have a cat. He had a saber-toothed tiger for a pet. Pretty tough, wasn't it? Huh? Are you hearing me? Yeah, it's like having a grizzly bear instead of a dog. Nah, I ain't got a dog. I got a bear. I got a grizzly bear. Yeah, polar bear. Yeah. They need a pen. They play follow me. Go get in the truck, bear. Huh? I'd be a He-Man with it. Huh? I wonder this morning, I know we got men here. I know that. I know that we got good men here. We got strong men here. I love you and appreciate you. But it ain't going to just happen. It's got to be purposed. It's got to be purposed. You got to decide, I'm going to be a man. I'm going to be a man. I'm going to be a man for my family. I'm going to be a man for my Lord. If you're not saved this morning, let me tell you something. It takes a big man. It takes a big man to admit he's a sinner and trust Christ. Big man. You need to trust Christ this morning. We need Christian men, Christian fathers that'll help our wives and help our children. That'll set the example. We need Christian men that'll stand. We're coming into a day, gentlemen. We're coming into a day that we're going to be called on the stand. We're going to be called on quickly. Huh? I wonder if the church has it today. Faith of our fathers. That's what I want you to sing, Clara. Y'all get that up there on the page. We're going to sing that. Faith of our fathers. I don't know if there's a better song to sing on Father's Day. Men, I love you, and I'm not better than you. We're in this thing together. Does everybody understand? Talk to me, men. Y'all understand? I'll challenge you, men, to be men of God. I challenge you, men, to be the Christian husband, to be the Christian daddy, to be the Christian papa that you need to be. I challenge you to be that this morning. If you're not saved, won't you come and trust Christ? Won't you come and trust Jesus Christ this morning? Let's sing right now. Let's stand together.